Nice to see you all. I'm David Goa. I'm one of the on the board of the Chester Ronning Center for the Study of Religion and Public Life at Augustana Faculty, which was, in my language, recently colonized by the University of Alberta. One of the suite of things that is planned by the center is a series of conversations which bring together the wonderful wings of the Christian tradition as well as other religious communities into conversation around the theme Thy Kingdom Come, looking at the sources within these wings of the Christian tradition that inform how they think about religion, faith, and public life. It is an old matter, as all of you know. But it has a kind of gravity in our world. You cannot read any newspaper these days without running into that story, running into those themes. And where your ability to understand the story is limited indeed if you do not understand a bit about the history and intellectual framework of religious traditions. So part of our goal is to do a little bit to bring some texture to the conversation on those issues in the public square. So tonight we are privileged to have the Reverend Dr. Setri Naomi in Edmonton, in Canada, with us, and decided we would shape an initial conversation in this suite of things, in part because he was here and it gave us a wonderful opportunity to do that. So we're delighted we can do that. First, I would like to have Detmar Mundell from the acting director of the center say a few words about the center, and then I will introduce the evening and ask the Honorable Walter McLean to introduce Reverend Dr. Setri Naomi to you. I've asked each of our key conversationalists to speak for 10 or 15 minutes on the theme, and then we will talk together and together about these matters. The reason for the microphones is simply that we're recording it. It's not that we, as a kind of gesture to Jacques Ellul, require the intervention of technique. So first of all, Detmar on the center.
Thank you very much, David. And before you all leave, maybe let's start with technical things. Those who are interested in hearing about the center's activity as they unfold will be passing these little sheets, and you can just put your name, address, email address. It's probably going to be the most useful. So please print those clearly so that we can actually get in touch with you, because one letter, as you know, will put it into computer limbo, and we will not discover necessarily whether you received any messages or not. I'm the interim director of the new Chester Ronning Center for the Study of Religion and Public Life. It was, and that's a little difference in image from David. David says we, you know, the University of Alberta colonized Augustana University College, former Camarus Lutheran College. But, you know, the Romans conquered the Greeks, but the Greeks culturally conquered the Romans, you know, so that's sort of my hope, that we can sort of be the heart and soul and animate this kind of conversation, which is now funded in part publicly by public monies. And so we hopefully we can have a whole diversity of conversations, because it is important to our public discourse to see what the religious traditions have to say to a whole variety of issues that our society is facing. And so that is our hope. So religion is very important. I mean, you hear it in the media all the time, but in Canada, we're pretty reticent in some shape or form. Some reticence I appreciate, because if you put religious auras over every president that gets elected, you have, you know, conflicts, I guess, internal and external conflicts. But so part of that is very good in Canada, but at the same time, you know, some of you are committed to finding a voice, giving voice to your faith, your values, as you engage what's happening in Canadian society. So that's what the center is dedicated to. It was part of the merger agreement. So there's several things in the merger agreement. One of them is that we can continue to have a campus ministry or campus chaplaincy, part of which is funded by the University of Alberta, and part of it is funded by the Lutheran Church or other donors. So, and then the second thing is creating up this center, which actually releases some energy. If you can actually dedicate staff time to this kind of conversation and some administrative time to this kind of conversation, you can do quite a bit more. We have a few sheets that will pass, you know, if those are interested, you can see some of the activities just of the last year, and I worked less than half time on the center. And so just to get started on that kind of a conversation, that kind of activity, ultimately we want to do some serious thinking and research. What are some of the key topics? And again, you could be our major resource people in terms of what do you think we should be pursuing in the center in terms of doing some serious research on how religion and public life intersect in Canada, who maybe has been doing it, you know, these kind of things. What already is happening? Where could we strengthen? Where can we cooperate? So research in those areas would be very fruitful. And again, we are hoping to hire a director. Who knows, maybe that person will be in place by next September. We had advertised already, but we figure it's better to get the first director right. because that's major, right? In shaping the first round, you know, you sort of create your footprint, your culture, your tradition around that. And so that's very important. For me as and the Chester Rawning Center, I think it's also very important that we do this Reformed Lutheran conversation. And as you will hear in my remarks later, I'm going to base mine more on Bonhoeffer's work as a Lutheran, but Lutherans in Germany would have been in deep trouble, as would have the Reformed Church if the Lutherans hadn't been there, or Bonhoeffers hadn't been there, and Hans Asmussen and others hadn't been there. I think we would have been mutually in trouble and would have just adapted to the dominant waves, you know, politically, economically, racially, culturally, that were happening if we didn't have actually, and partly the tension between, it's not just, let's find common ground, yeah, that's good, but it's actually the tension between the two traditions that enriches our discourse. And so, I was born in the war, so that's been one of the things that has haunted me, in Poland, German-occupied Poland, and so that's haunted me. Well, you know, why did the church not speak more forcefully, or what went, and the universities didn't either, right? The universities sold out very, very quickly by and large. So why did neither university or church, engage? And now we have a center within the university to engage the world. So I think that for me is a, you know, a motivation and a sign of hope that we can do something. Anyhow, that's enough. But the center tries to engage those kind of topics, so we do both, if you want to call it extension work. We're trying to engage both the church communities and faith communities. So we've had, for example, a Muslim-Christian dialogue just recently. And as Setri was telling us at the Presbyterian luncheon today, at the mission luncheon, how important dialogue is. So that's a crucial element. But beyond having dialogues is to, you know, sort of seriously think about and get more complicated, more articulate. Like our media, you know, they take one person pro, one person contra, and then they've done their objective reporting. you know, and I don't think the Christian position, I mean, the positions, perspectives on any issue have been validly dealt with. So the center is trying to bring a bit more richness, or David's term always, more texture to the conversation. So that's definitely the hope of the Chester Ronning Center for the Study of Religion and Public Life. So thank you for coming and for beginning that conversation, at least at this level.
The Honorable Walter McLean, for those of you who don't know him, was a member of Parliament for a number of years, Presbyterian clergyman, and I met him a few years ago and developed a friendship with him, which has been occasionally assisted by single malt scotch. And I understand that it comes close to being a sacrament in your tradition, and I'm pleased to hear that. Anything that can redeem the Scots, you know, from the perspective of us Norwegians, is a virtuous thing. In any case, I'm delighted you're here, and I'm delighted you've made this possible through talking with me about the opportunity, and I'd like to invite you to say a few words and introduce our guest.
Thank you, David. Detmar, your comments echo the intention, or at least the role, of the E.H. Johnson Memorial Trust Fund, which has, as its role within the Presbyterian community in Canada and larger, to try and keep its eye on the cutting edge of mission. Where is the rubber hitting the road, or where should it be hitting the road? And for those who are here and not out of the Presbyterian family, let me just say a word about how this came into being, and already the creative tensions that it produces in a small way within a community. Reverend Dr. E.H. Ted Johnson, some of you may recall, led the not just the Presbyterian but the ecumenical community over in and through the Biafra experience, the Nigerian Civil War. Stanley Grant, a Jewish businessman, Burke, the CBC newscaster, left his job, and others came together to, with the Norwegian churches and the Scandinavian churches, to lift together what was known, we knew, as Can Air Relief for the aircraft we built, in order to try to respond in a humanitarian intervention into the situation in West Africa. That was one chapter in Ted's life, but he was the person who, in my student days, came across the campus and talked to us about what was happening in the world. He was a distant nephew of the Red Dean of Canterbury, Hewlett Johnson. He had an interest in China. He had been a missionary in China, came out through the war, and was the first Christian to go back, and was heavily criticized for going back into communist China. Ted led our church and our denomination, but also within the Canadian Council of Churches and within interfaith dialogue in a variety of ways. And to memorialize him, his friends said, we want to try and keep that conversation going. Friends drew together, and a small trust was established, and his family, Johnson Wire and Cable in Montreal, put in some two donations, enough for us to have some capacity to each year make an award to someone who is in the midst of the fight on the cutting edge, and to hear their story, to try and encourage them, and to try to share. And we have now, through, this is the 22nd year, and we go back through the awards of folk who were a part of that struggle and with whom we keep in touch. And in fact, when Setri Naomi was addressing convocation at the invitation of Principal Gordon, who's here with us tonight from Knox College, we commandeered him and said, here's what we're doing, here's what we've done. He helped us with several people to put our eyes on several years ago as to who they might be. And so through the years, we go back and we've happily been involved with Reverend Gao in Taiwan, who was imprisoned for years by the government there, who was the moderator, Ted Scott, the folk on our list, some of them are well-known names in the global community, John Fife, who led the sanctuary movement in the southern U.S., and Bishop Tutu, John Dunlop, who's been on the front line in Ireland, in the heart of the Belfast area. We've been hearing from people who are there trying to be where the action is. And we were very honored when Setri Naomi accepted himself to come this year. He's not only came, but said, I'll give you a week if you can use it to encourage some meetings and help us meet some ecumenical friends, help us talk together and make some networks, not worried about big numbers, but to find some folk who would chat. Setri's background is in Ghana, where he is a pastor of one of the two Presbyterian churches. He was at his early education and his undergraduate there. He studied at both Yale and Princeton. He's worked with the All-Africa Council of Churches on social and family issues. He's worked with the World Council, and he now is the executive director, or the person in charge of the World Alliance of Reformed Churches, which covers about 70 Reformed churches. And I'll let Setri tell you about his ministry there. But many of, as he reminded us at noon today, most Presbyterian or Reformed churches are minorities in the countries where they witness, and most are minorities even when they're in a predominantly Christian culture. And learning to live and to talk and to express your faith is something that the Christian community is going through a transition in Canada. We identified in a round table that we hosted as the trust that we needed some help, because the feedback from our congregations was, we're set with buildings and traditions and places, but we need some help to learn how to talk with people of other faiths. Setri reminded us today, one of the first things we should be doing is learning again to talk with each other within the Christian community before we get too adventurous in talking with people of other faiths. So from his perch in Geneva, he has come here. He brings us a global perspective. We benefited today and look forward to his. And we look forward, Tom, and to your comments and our conversation. So we thank you for facilitating this tonight, David.
So, Reverend Dr. Setri Naomi.